Swagatham Vaha. Welcome to everyone. I see a number of familiar faces. For those who are not familiar with Swami Vidyadhatmananda, this is Swamiji's sixth visit to San Diego, and it's quite an honor to be able to introduce him. He is the senior acharya for the Arsha Vidya Gurukulam in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania, which is an institute for the traditional study of Advaita Vedanta, Sanskrit, meditation, chanting, and related arts. And it was founded by our guru, Swami Dayananda Saraswati. Swamiji spends part of his time teaching there, and there are live streamed classes that you can take if you go to arshavidya.org. You can see the programs that are there. Beautiful Sri Dakshinamurti temple there. And he travels teaching, and he also has an ashram in Gujarat. It's been my honor to know Swamiji since, I believe, 1988, when he came and visited the Gurukulam when I was studying there. And he is one of the gentlest, most open-hearted, wisest men I know. I am very excited to hear his talk today on freedom in relationship. Please do stay around after the talk to receive some prasada from Swamiji.
Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Freedom in relationship. Let us explore the meaning of freedom here. Here, freedom can be defined as freedom from pressures or freedom from compulsion. As human beings, we are gifted with free will, meaning the freedom to make a choice in every situation. We have the freedom to decide whether to do something or not to do something, and what to do, how to do. This is an important freedom that we are given. And by judicious use of this freedom, we can bring about our emotional growth, intellectual growth, spiritual growth, which is the purpose of human life. This kind of privilege of bringing about growth is not available, as best as we understand, not available to any other living beings. It is a special privilege that a human being enjoys. And we can see also the great strides that the human being has carried out in almost all the fields, whether it's science, art, culture, in every field, great achievements have been made. All of this has been possible because we have the free will. This free will, however, is sometimes the expression of free will is obstructed by something. Meaning that very often we are not really free to do what we want to do. There is something else sometimes that compels us to act even against our own will. You can call it freedom, you can call it pressure, or inner compulsion. Meaning that whenever we are compelled by something within ourselves, then we lose the advantage of the free will and we are controlled by something else within ourselves. And under those conditions, we wind up abusing our free will. So it is our privilege to wisely use the free will to bring about our growth and happiness. However, if that free will is abused, then we can equally bring about a damage to others and to ourselves. It is a two-edged sword, this free will. It can become a means of growth and happiness. It can as well become the means of damage and violence and hurt. So that also we see how the wise use of free will has resulted into so much progress and growth and empowerment and happiness. At the same time, abuse of free will also has created so much violence and suffering as well. Meaning that whatever suffering we find in the human society or anywhere for that matter, all that suffering is the result of the abuse of free will on the part of human beings. Whether there are wars, there are human rights violations, there is hurt, injury, all of this is due to the abuse of free will. Meaning that with the right use of free will, we can help ourselves. At the same time, with the wrong use of free will, we hurt ourselves and hurt others also. And therefore, it is very important that we iron control of our free will. But we lose that control whenever there is some compulsion within myself, wherever there are some impulses within myself. For example, if when I get overcome by anger, for example, then it is anger that compels me to act in a certain way. At that time, I am not there. My free will is not there. It cannot be exercised. I am controlled by that impulse. So there are certain impulses, many such impulses like that. When I become greedy, when I am frustrated, when I am revengeful, when I am jealous. So jealousy, revenge, all of these are impulses. And whenever I am controlled by those at that time, the free will is not, the freedom is abused, meaning I am not free. So freedom can be simply defined as freedom to act as I should act, as I want to act. When I'm not compared by something else, when I'm not compared by my own impulses. Anger is a well-known example. Cruelty, another example. Revenge, third example, and so forth. So what is freedom? Freedom can be simply understood as freedom from compulsion, freedom from these impulses. So relationship, freedom in relationship. Relationship again is another privilege that we have. Relationship is an extremely valuable thing in our life. And as human beings, we are constantly related to something or the other. Right now, I'm related to you, and you are related to me. It's a relationship. If in a given relationship, I conduct myself wisely, When my free will is used wisely, then that relationship becomes a source of joy or happiness. On the other hand, a relationship can also become a source of sorrow or pain when that freedom of free will is not utilized wisely, when it is abused. So relationship is an extremely important thing because it is the greatest source of our happiness. Somebody has said that of the total happiness that we enjoy in our life, about 80% of that comes from relationship. Only about 20% comes from movies and pizzas and stuff like that. We think that those things bring about the maximum happiness, but no. The maximum happiness can be brought by relationship. When does a relationship bring happiness? When there is freedom in that relationship. The same relationship also can bring me misery when the freedom is not there. Somebody asked the question, is marriage a word or a sentence? Marriage is a word or a sentence. If lived wisely, it is a beautiful word. If not lived wisely, it can become life sentence. There are certain relationships where we can create distance. There are certain relationships where we cannot create the distance. We are stuck with them. And therefore, we have to learn how to make a relationship as a source of happiness. We have to learn how to avoid making a relationship a source of sorrow, because a relationship can become equally a cause of happiness or a cause of sorrow. Meaning that just as the maximum happiness comes from relationship, maximum sorrow also comes from relationship. Therefore, it is very important to understand dynamics of the relationship. The relationship to anything. The closest relationship is that between the spouses, of course. That's the closest relationship. Otherwise, parents and children, siblings, friends, colleagues, neighbors, boss, subordinate, master, servant, speaker, listeners, teacher, students. Almost every moment we relate to someone or the other. And any relationship can become a source of joy. I was reading one of the books where Dalai Lama, an American doctor, wrote that book, Art of Happiness. In that he describes how once he was accompanying Dalai Lama, and they were going perhaps to meet somebody, and they had to catch an elevator from the ground floor. While they were waiting for the elevator to arrive, there was also another person waiting, a male servant, with her stuff, you know, things like that. And this man saw how Dalai Lama gave a beautiful smile to that woman, not known to him, a very humble person, very ordinary person. He is a great person, and she is just nothing as far as the social status is concerned. And still, the way he looked at her and smiled, she was so happy. So that's a relationship. That even that also can become a source of happiness. you can become source of happiness for someone, and in turn, you can enjoy the happiness from that relationship. Meaning that we can become the source of happiness through our relationship. That also gives us an opportunity to make others happy. All of this is possible when we enjoy freedom. Because when we enjoy freedom, then we can make choices. Then we can choose. How this particular occasion can be made a source of happiness? What makes a person happy? What would make me happy? Each one of us has our own likes and dislikes. Meaning that there are certain things that I like. When I have them, I enjoy them, I'm happy. That's called a like. In company of that, in possession of that, in enjoyment of that, I'm happy. Also, lots of dislikes. In company of some, I become uncomfortable. Certain things make me unhappy. So there are things that make me happy, and there are things that make me unhappy. I like certain things, I dislike certain things. I wish that was not so. I wish that we liked everything, that we did not dislike anything. For that we have to grow. That is what I mean by the growth in our emotional personality or spiritual personality. What is called growth is when these likes and dislikes become less and less and less. Because these likes and dislikes compel me. When I like something, I become partial to what I like and cruel to what I dislike. These likes and dislikes makes me partial and cruel. Both of things are wrong. When I'm partial to someone, I do injustice to someone else. I'm partial because I like that. So when I'm distributing something, sweets or something, two, three pieces go there. When I dislike something, like this person is appointed as a receptionist. In a wedding reception, you know, wedding receptions in India, hundreds of people come. And usually the person that is appointed, who stands there at the gate to receive people, is somebody, a friend of the bride or the groom. He doesn't know everybody, but then he knows some of them. His job is, he is given here to sprinkle rose water and hand over a rose to whoever comes. That is his job. Now, so many people come. There are some people whom this fellow likes, yes, they are their friends. And there are some whom he dislikes also. So you observe his behavior. When someone he likes comes, you can see, preferably, more of rose water. Maybe two roses are given to him. And when somebody comes whom he dislikes, he looks around as though he doesn't know that he has come. He forgets to sprinkle the rose water. It's called partiality, cruelty. So these likes and dislikes make me either partial or cruel. Both of these are wrong ways to behave. Is it not so? This person is a receptionist. He should be equal to all. Because it is his job to receive everybody. He should not distinguish between a friend and a foe. He should receive them because he's a representative of that bride or the groom. He doesn't represent himself. But then, when we are overcome by our likes and dislikes, these impulses, then we conduct ourselves in an unbecoming manner. And that fellow gets hurt. He recognizes that this fellow has not given me a rose, or he gave me an old rose, or something like that. When there is a row of people, you know, who are all seated in a feast, and when we are there to serve them, same thing happens. In the olden days, Swamiji, there used to be a container of ghee, and people would pour. Olden days. Nowadays, I don't think people, they think cholesterol and stuff like that. So they lost that advantage. Olden people somehow thought that more ghee means more health. And therefore, it was customary also as one of the things is to pour ghee when you give rice or something. Then again, you have to watch this fellow. When a friend comes, he finds pouring his goes on. When somebody dislikes, he comes, he avoids him. Meaning that very often we are controlled by our likes and dislikes. When do I become happy? When you satisfy my likes and dislikes. Meaning that you do what I like and avoid doing what I dislike. So now when it comes to relationship between two persons, ideally the purpose of relationship is to make the other person happy. When a newly married couple comes to us, Swami, the parents bring them usually. Tell them something. So this simple advice, you can call it, give them. What is the duty of husband and wife? Duty of husband is to make wife happy. Duty of wife to make husband happy. Simple, is it not? Then there will be heaven in that place, because each one makes the other one happy, therefore both are happy. But when can husband make wife happy and vice versa? When husband does what wife likes and does not do what she dislikes. On the part of wife, she does what the husband likes and refrains from doing what he does not like. Simple. The problem comes when what husband likes is what the wife dislikes, and vice versa. That is when the conflict comes. Should I do what he likes, or should I do what I like? Very often, we wind up doing what we like. The process, we do something the other person. So what is the purpose of relationship? To gain happiness? What is the best way of gaining happiness? Is by making the other person happy. Every mother knows the joy of feeding. Feeding a child. I know when we were growing up, we were several siblings. And mother would cook some dish that we like. I remember that we would just attack the thing and finish it off without even thinking whether anything is left for the mother or not. Children. Later on, I realized how insensitive we were, that we never thought of her, and we just thought of ourselves and wiped out everything. But did she protest? She never. You know what I thought? If I were mother, you know what I would do? I would first set aside my portion and then give him the rest. But a mother is stupid. She never does. She just gives away whatever the children want. How can you do that? Because The very act of giving away, the very act of feeding is what she enjoys. And thus the joy that comes by feeding, the joy that comes by giving, the joy that comes by making another one happy is priceless joy. The joy that comes by eating, also there is some joy. But how much can you eat? How much your stomach allows? And then also there is this law of diminishing return. That first plate of ice cream makes you happy. The second plate of ice cream makes you less happy. And then the capacity of ice cream to make you happy keeps on diminishing. It's called law of diminishing return. On the other hand, the joy that you get, is there a limit there? How much you can give? There was our Balaswami used to tell this story. Once upon a time, there was a battle between the gods and demons. And they decided to declare a truce for a change. There was a peace agreement and they decided to celebrate that. So these devatas, gods, were very generous and they invited all the demons to come to heaven, which demons have never entered in heaven, but they were invited to have a feast, to celebrate this feast. And you know, in heaven, there is a wonderful garden of Indra called this is the place called Amaravati. And he has a great garden there, all set, tables, everything was set like this. Those are people. Odisha, an instruction is given, don't start eating until we tell you to eat. Because these fellows, as soon as food comes in the plate, usually they have a tendency to start gobbling. But you can't do that in heaven. This is a code of conduct. Odisha, still, don't start until the 15th chapter of Gita is chanted. So these fellows are so eager to eat and they are getting quite restless. And finally, another rule came. Some people brought arm-long sticks and said, look, the rule here is that you should only eat with your right hand. But everybody stretch out the right arm and that arm-long stick was tied to the right arm. When that formality was complete, and then the Brahmarpana mantra entered and said, now you can eat. Cruel joke, is it not so? How can you eat when your arm is tied like this? Because for eating, you must bend your arm to put the food in your mouth and then it's tied with a stick. You can't do that. These demons are extremely angry and they said that they have called here to humiliate us or what? They're going to pull out their sword and the battle would have started in the meantime. The old demon said, calm down, calm. Don't get excited. There must be a way out. And then, it is true that because the hands are tied with stick, and therefore you cannot bend, and therefore you cannot eat. You know what you can do? You can take food, plate of other fellow, and feed him. For feeding, you don't have to bend it, right? This was something new. These fellows never knew. They only knew they had eating. Today, they were forced to. So you take a morsel of food and put it in the mouth and see the joy on the face of the person. And then you're really enthused. And then they started pushing food, you know, because there's so much joy in feeding. It was the first time that they had experienced the joy of it. In that process, everybody got to eat also, by the way. Whatever joy comes of eating may have come, but a much greater joy in the sense that the joy that we get, the happiness that we get by making others happy is a much more lasting and freeing happiness than the happiness that comes by consuming by your own, you know, by satisfying yourself. Relationship gives us an opportunity. You don't have to go out and destroy. You can go out and serve, but every relationship gives an opportunity right away. Make the other person simple. Just do what they want. Refrain from what they don't want. The catch comes when what he wants is what I don't want. What that person likes is what I don't like. Like this woman, she did not like bitter gourd. You know bitter gourd? Really bitter. She didn't like it. So she would never, her husband liked, but she didn't like. She never cooked. Very often this man would ask, why, no bitter gourd? No, it's not season. No bitter gourd? Oh, yeah, they don't stock it. No bitter gourd? It was no good. Something, somehow or the other, poor fellow would never get. Once upon a time, the doctor declared that sugar in his blood. So from tomorrow, feed him bitter gourd. So sometimes it happens that you get what you want, but very often you do not get. So do what the other, even though she did not like what he liked, so she won't know that. You do that even though you don't. But Swami, I hate bitter gourd. To make the other person, suppose you cook, suppose he eats a little bitter face. But that act of making other person create in you a you know why? Why do we feel good when we make something? Why do we feel good when we do what they like? Why is it so? That is because if we were in that position, that's what we would have expected. Meaning that we would like that other person should do what we like. We like that other person should make me happy. So just as I want other person to make me happy, I know that the other person also wants me to make them happy. We are born with this twofold consciousness. We have expectation of others, and we know that others also have similar expectations. That is why when somebody fulfills my expectation, I'm happy. Or when I fulfill somebody's expectation, they are happy. However, it is difficult to fulfill the expectations of. And therefore, the rule as far as the relationship is concerned is to minimize expectations. When I have an expectation, and when you fail to fulfill my expectation, that makes me unhappy. So, cause of all our unhappiness is unfulfilled expectation. You think about it. When do you become unhappy? You'll find the reason why I'm unhappy is because some expectation is. Meaning that all our happiness comes from fulfilled expectation, all our unhappiness comes from unfulfilled expectation. Therefore, ideally, in a relationship, to make it smooth or happy, you know what should be there? Should have minimum expectation. Zero expectation, ideal relation. But we are not there yet. Thus, just as expectation when fulfilled becomes the source of happiness, and expectation not fulfilled becomes source of happiness, and therefore all our happiness comes from fulfilled expectation, all unhappiness comes from unfulfilled. And therefore, in order to make our relationship a source of happiness, bring freedom in the relationship. Even the expectation that brings about a compulsion or inner pressure in me. Meaning, when I relate to you, suddenly there is an expectation of what you should do. Either you don't know what expectation I have, or you know but you do not care to do it also. And so, when someone does not fulfill expectation, it causes pain in me. That time I'm not free. So what is freedom in relationship? When expectations are minimum. Minimize expectation from the other person. I mean, how do you do the expectation? How can we live without expectation? You will always ask me a question. Should you not expect something from our children, Swamiji, that they should go to school, they should study? Yes, expect that. But here we are talking about expectations which can be given up. And therefore, what is expectation, you know? Expectation means that the other person should conduct themselves in a manner to please me. That's the basic expectation. The basic problem is that we are unhappy within ourselves. Human being is basically unhappy within himself. You know, that's the reason why we find it so difficult to be by ourselves. The morning meditation is the most difficult class. People like to avoid that because in meditation we are required to be with ourselves and we are most uncomfortable when we are with ourselves. Moment you give me some time, immediately, these days we have a lot of distraction. Immediately take out this thing and start doing something or the other. What is that? That is to distract myself so that I do not have to stay with myself. So escape distraction. So basically we are unhappy people. I'll tell you the reason why, but then that is what it is. And therefore there's always an expectation that other person should make me happy. Our basic expectation is that the other person should make me happy. How should they make me happy? By fulfilling my likes and dislikes, fulfilling my expectations. And thus, a prescription for everybody. What everybody should do and what everybody should not do. This is what my expectation is. And that is what creates this conflict in the relationship, because when the person I'm related to does not fulfill my expectation, I become upset. Become upset, then I act in a manner which would perhaps even hurt myself or hurt others. So that pressure is, what is that pressure? That expectation. Or raga-dvesha is that pressure. And more often than not, that controls our behavior. And therefore, in order to become free from that pressure, we should learn to slowly give up our expectations. How to do that? How can I give up expectations, Swamiji? By accepting the person as the person is. See, every person has their own baggage. Every person has some virtues, at the same time limitations also. Each one of us is a combination of virtue. There are a lot of good things in ourselves. Same time, there are many shortcomings also. And therefore, when we relate to a person, we relate to a whole person. We cannot demand that I only relate to the good part of the person and not the bad part. When you take a rose, the thorns will come along with that. Since we know that there are thorns in the rose, we know how to handle that, and therefore we don't get hurt by the thorns. Similarly, every person has a rose along with thorns. What is meant by accepting the person is, just as I accept the rose with the thorns, knowing that is unavoidable, and then I learn how to deal with the thorns so that I'm not hurt. Similarly also, accept the person with the limitations, with the shortcomings. Nobody in the world is perfect. Whatever is created is imperfect. And whatever is created is a combination of virtue and vice, Sanskrit guna and dosha. Guna, virtue. Dosha, vice. Everybody has kindness also and some cruelty also. Everybody has love also and little bit hatred also. Everybody has large-heartedness also and narrowness also. Everybody generous also and self-centered also. We are like that, is it not so? We are kind, but sometimes we become cruel also. We are loving people, but sometimes we become hateful also. Sometimes we become jealous. Sometimes we become angry. Sometimes we become cruel. Is it not so? So I find that all of this is there in me. And similarly, all of that is likely to be in the other person also. How I accept myself. When I get angry, I easily forgive myself. When the other person gets angry, then what am I supposed to do? Also, forgive the other person. The simple rule is this, that I should try to treat the other person as I treat myself. When I commit a mistake, I easily forgive myself. When somebody commits a mistake, I should be willing to forgive them also. Simple thing. That is called accepting the other person. More there is acceptance, less there is expectation, less possibility of disappointment, less possibility of pain or sorrow. Therefore, what is freedom in relationship? When the relationship becomes a source of happiness. When the relationship in that is a minimum of sorrow. That is the freedom from sorrow, meaning that freedom from inner pressures, inasmuch as it is expectation that causes sorrow. And therefore, less the expectation, more the freedom is. You know something? We are always comfortable with someone who accepts us as we are. We are comfortable with a person who accepts us as we are. That is why when you go to some saintly person, we feel very good because they accept us as we are. With all our shortcomings, with all our limitations, they accept us. And therefore, we feel very comfortable. Everybody wants to be accepted as they are. Then they are comfortable. Therefore, in a relationship, we should make the other person comfortable. Otherwise, sometimes we intimidate them, we create fear in them, we create unhappiness in them. In order to make that person happy, we should accept them as they are. Meaning, accept their limitations also, and not demand that they should change for my sake. Thus, our relationship can be as much free it is of demands and expectations, that much is the freedom in relationship, and that is, then the relationship becomes a source of happiness. So freedom from expectations. Meaning, an attempt to accept the limitations of other person. We recognize that everybody has limitations. Everybody has a little bit of anger in them. Everybody has a little bit of jealousy in them. Everybody has a little bit of, nobody is perfect. So sometimes the salt may be more, sometimes maybe less. Sometimes the chapati may not be round. Sometimes the rice may not be well cooked. Things like that. If every little thing makes me angry. Today, this fellow, today the salt is more, sometimes salt is more. He is always angry. So one day the food was so good, he had nothing to complain. Then also he became angry. Why don't you cook like this every day, you know? And so, learning to gracefully accept what is. It's never perfect. Nobody is perfect. Therefore, what they do cannot be perfect. The good thing is, you know, there was this one saintly person. He was invited for a lunch, bhiksha it is called. So he presented himself there. It was in a village many years ago. What happened is that this person's wife, she was in a monthly, at that time itself, monthly period, and therefore she could not cook the food. But since the saint is invited, you have to feed him. Therefore she instructed her husband, make chapati like this, make sabji like this, make dal like this, make this like that. Now when this person came, the food was served to him. You know what he found? That instead of regular oil, this fellow who had cooked did not recognize the difference between oil and castor oil. And therefore, what was there in sabji or made in castor oil. Immediately, this person knew that this is castor oil. Oh, how wonderful sabji you cooked. Come on, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. He finished everything. Of course, what happened to that saint after going home is a different matter. So a disciple asked him, sir, why did you do this? He says, well, I did not want to know that he had made a mistake. If I left any sabji there, and when they discovered that there was castor oil, they would feel so bad. Oh, what did I do? This is what I fed him. They would have been so miserable. I finished everything. So he would not know. And he's happy that, oh, how well I cooked. He ate everything. That's also a way, isn't it? This is called accepting the person. Accepting, because there are imperfections. There are limitations. Either I can make an issue out of that. What do you mean, stupid fellow? You don't know how to cook? Do you know what you have added here? What you have put here? It's castor oil. Don't you understand? I mean, you can do that. And that poor fellow, what can he say? He'll be miserable. Or, on the other hand, you can do this. This is an extreme example. I mean, we are not right there as yet. But one can do this. One can be so gracious that other person does not even know that they have made a mistake. And you make up for that mistake. Such that other person does not know. They feel happy that we did so well. Give them that joy. Even though they did not do well, give them that happiness. In Ramayana describes, you know, these four brothers are there, Rama, Lakshman. When they would play with each other, this boy Rama would make sure that other fellow wins. He would deliberately lose. Let them win. Let them be happy. You follow? It's also a way of relating to other people. You know what happens? What does it do to us? Every time you do this, you become bigger than what you are. You become more large-hearted than what you are. And that is called growth. That is called emotional growth. That is called spiritual growth when you become more accommodative, more large-hearted, more forgiving, more compassionate. What do I get, Swami, from compassion? That is called happiness. You're happy when you're compassionate. You're happy when you're kind. You're happy when you're generous. You're happy when you're a giver. for our own happiness, make other person happy, and that's how the happiness that you get is not only happiness, but brings about an inner growth. Means that it opens doors for further happiness. And a relationship gives us an opportunity to do this. I mean, you can go out in the world and serve other people, but right now you start right away, right at home or wherever. In every relationship you can do that. Sometimes, you know, generally speaking, today Swami did not make an announcement. But usually before the start of the talk, there is an announcement. Please switch off your cell phones. But almost invariably it happens that somebody's cell phone rings. If it's a lady, a woman, then she for sure doesn't know that it's my cell phone that is ringing. Then somebody says, hey, your cell phone is ringing. Oh, then she takes out the purse. And then there are so many things in there. It takes 5 minutes to search that. The phone is ringing and ringing. And she takes out the phone. She doesn't know how to switch it off also. At that time, the one who says, what are you doing here? What is this? Didn't I tell you to destroy? You can do that. And make them feel humiliated, ashamed. Or you can be generous. It's all right. Cell phone is meant to ring anyway. Right? So it is your choice to be able to be not tolerating, to be kind to the person. That this can happen. What's the big deal about it? Okay. Of course, what happens is when somebody's cell phone rings, then everybody listens to that. Then they don't listen to the Swami. That's the problem. Somehow the human mind is such that when some noise comes from there, everybody's ears are all trained to that. Even though I'm sitting here, they don't look at me. They look there and they listen to what's going on there. That upsets me a little bit, no doubt about that. So a relationship is an excellent opportunity to grow. Growing whatever Swami used to call emotional maturity. When we grow, what is emotional maturity? When we grow in our kindness, when we grow in our goodness, when we grow in our compassion, when we grow in the spirit of giving. That happens when those negative things like anger, like intolerance, when they slowly go away. Freedom in relationship is freedom from intolerance. Cannot tolerate the when Pansa does what I do not like. It is to be expected that they do what I do not like. You know something? We are all limited. Meaning that our knowledge is limited. We don't know everything. So very often we do not even know what the other person needs. We do not know what they like. We do not know what they want. And therefore we wind up doing things that they may not like. Sometimes in a rare occasion it happens, rare. When somebody invites you for lunch or something and then you cook very enthusiastically and then first morsel in the mouth, onion in there, garlic in there. I very politely say, oh, Swami, you didn't like it? You don't eat onion? I did not know. You don't? Okay. People don't know? So simple things they may not know, your choice to get angry, or you understand. We understand the limitations of people. We understand the shortcomings of people. It is natural. Because everybody is imperfect. Everybody has shortcomings. Everybody has limitations. And to be tolerant to that, or to be understanding to that, to be generous to that. That every relationship gives us an opportunity. When we are not related, it doesn't matter to us what the other person is. When we are related, then what they do all matters because it affects us. And that is when we have an opportunity to grow. Let go. Let go your expectation. Let go your need. Let go your demand. But Swami, then I have to suffer all the time. Okay? Suffer. But when, why a little bit of pain or suffering on our part, if we can create comfort for some other person, that's very precious. Meaning that it is not possible to be able to make somebody happy unless I'm willing to put up with some little discomfort or pain. But that pain is a pain that makes me grow. You know fire? Gold, when it is heated in fire, it becomes bright. So that fire, in terms of the suffering that comes by making someone happy, is a fire that purifies me. We come out purer, shining. What do you need? You don't need anything other than what you are and what you are relating to, because relationships are there already. All we need to do is make every relationship an opportunity to grow. Grow in my tolerance, grow in my generosity, grow in my kindness. And I'm sure that people will give me enough opportunity by being what they are. They will give me enough opportunity. And thus, take that challenge. That is the freedom in relationship when a relationship becomes a source of my happiness, it becomes an opportunity for me to grow, becomes an opportunity to make someone happy. That is freedom in happiness, happiness in freedom. It's a very simple thing I say. There can be many things that can be said, but this is very simple, simple message that one can remember. Then try to understand the other person. Be sensitive to their sensitivities. Be sensitive to their feelings. Requires that I should understand the feelings of the person and respect the feelings. Swamiji, I would not feel like that if I was in that position. You may not feel like that. That person feels, so respect them. Respecting a person means respecting their feelings, respecting their sentiments, respecting their needs. Even if in our opinion those needs are not reasonable, in our opinion, those feelings are not reasonable, doesn't matter. Give them the freedom. Be generous enough, kind enough to accept, even if it is not reasonable. But Swamiji, if I do that, then that person will never change, will never improve. No, that's their job. It's not our job to change other people. It's our job to change ourselves. You know something? If you want somebody to change, nobody will change. If you demand that you should change, nobody will do that. You should create a condition by which other person is motivated to change. When they find that we go out of our way to do something for them, then they also will want to return that favor, I'm telling you. Then that is what will motivate. I think I should change. I think I should be more careful. I think I should not make demand. That's how they will be motivated. If you want them to change, you change and create a condition for them by which they are motivated. Change does not come by demand. Change comes by only kindness and creating that atmosphere which is conducive for the person to change. Because otherwise it becomes a matter of ego. You change. Each one demands the person to change. It's ego that clashes. But I change. Other person recognizes that this person has changed for my sake and they are sensitive, then they will want to return that favor. That's the best way of motivating someone to change. Thus, a relationship gives me an opportunity to change. Change for the better. Change in my tolerance, change in my generosity, change, bring about a change for the better. And hopefully in that process, I help other person also to change. The relationship becomes smoother and smoother. Mahatma Gandhi is an example of that. He was a tough person. Very demanding in a person. Lot of expectations from his wife. He thought that everybody should be like him. And so he had a value. They do clean toilets, you know, in the olden days. And everybody's toilets in the ashram. So he asked me, you are so clean toilet. I won't do that. You should clean the, I will not do that. She said, that's your stuff. He threw her out. This is how the relation, that rocky relationship. In course of time, he reported that when they grew old, that became the most loving relationship. Because each one had a value for a relationship. Understand that a relationship is more important than ourselves. Meaning that a relationship is more important than our ego. That ego alone comes out as expectation, as demand. Let go demand means let go ego, giving more importance to relationship. Ego is not the source of happiness, relationship is the source of happiness. Ego is source of misery. And therefore, instead of justifying the ego, making ego bigger and bigger, it gives an opportunity to become more and more humble. So relationship is more important, I, who is related, my ego. Let go. And you will let go a lot of things. You know it. But anyway, every relationship demands you have to let go. How much do I let go? You can let go, more freedom you enjoy. You let go everything, you become liberated. That's called moksha, you know. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. He's called a wise man who lets go everything. There's no expectation, no demand. He becomes liberated. Meaning, more you let go, more free you become. Everything you let go, you become totally free. That's what the scriptures teach us. Lord Krishna describes a wise person. Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. All kamas, all demands, all expectations are given up. Then what happens? Atmaneva atmana tushtaha. You give up an expectation, discover happiness from yourself. Give up a demand, discover happiness from yourself. Atmaneva atmana tushtaha. He has given up all expectation, has discovered total happiness from him. Because it is there. Happiness, infinite happiness is within ourselves. You have to tap that happiness. How do you tap it? By letting go. By holding on to that, we are blocking that flow of the happiness. By letting go, you tap, open the tap for the happiness. Thus, every time you let go, you feel happy. That is the way of becoming happy or successful in life. This relationship gives us an opportunity thus to become free and happy by demanding. Every relationship demands that I should let go. Otherwise, it won't work. My way or highway. That doesn't work too long. The other person says, I need some space. I need another space. That's, you know, you live under one roof, but in different spaces. And sometimes people have no value. They do not realize how valuable a relationship is. Just throw it away. I don't want you. I don't care for you. The friends are given up. Things are just given up because my demand is not satisfied. It is very foolish that people just let go of relationship like that. They don't understand how precious it is. But to maintain relationship requires me to let go. Whether it's a friend, whether it's a spouse, whether it's my neighbor, it's my colleague, it's my boss, it's my subordinate, it's my child, it's my sibling, whatever it is, everywhere, a smooth relationship requires me to let go. And by letting go, I become bigger than what I was. I never lose. By letting go, I gain in my maturity and happiness. So that is the way to become happy in our life. Thus, every relationship has the potential of making more and more free. Discover freedom from myself. Discover happiness from myself. So you make other person happy, and you become happy. You create heaven. All you need is two persons to have heaven. That's all. Harmony in relationship creates happiness. I tell this married couple, I said, two of you are enough to create heaven for yourself. You don't need anything else. In that you have a car and a house, it's all icing on the cake. But this is a cake, your relationship is the cake. If that is not there, then you have icing only. If icing is not there, still cake is there. All you need is two of you to generate all the happiness. And of course, all that needs is two of you to generate all the unhappiness also. When not wisely, relation is not wise, it is misery. When there is wisdom, it is. But happiness only comes by letting, by giving. It does not come by demanding. It doesn't come by it. And a relationship requires me to give up and let. But we hold on. Why should I give up? That person, why should I give up? And that's how relationship is sacrificed. And we think that I don't care. I don't realize what a sacrifice I made. What a valuable thing I let go, I don't know. I don't realize that. But understand it. Every relationship is very precious. And you cannot take it for granted. Just as when you plant a sapling, you cannot take it for, you have to care for it, you have to tend it. Every morning, you know, you should give some water, change the soil now and then, provide a support, make sure that the light comes. You know, how you take care of that sapling, then it grows. Similarly, every relationship, that kind of investment. You invest and then that sapling grows. So also in a relationship requires investment of my time and my energy and my care and concern. You cannot take it for granted. Even friends also you take for granted. And in short course of time, slowly and slowly you forget each other. And you know, that love doesn't remain. Remember him, or to send him a card, or to make a phone call, or do something or the other in order to nurture that relationship. Even the servant. There are no servants in this country. But in India, you may have one. People think that I'm a master, his servant. No, he's also a human being. And therefore, relate to him also in the same love. But you have to invest. Love requires investment of our time, energy, care, concern. That there is a concern for the other people. You want the other person to be happy. And therefore, you try to do what all you can do. All right, I'll conclude here, take a break, and invite you to ask questions on what we discussed in last 1 hour and 8 minutes. Yes. Very good question. So as far as individual relationship is concerned, yes, this value of letting go expectation works. But when I'm a team leader, when I have deadlines to meet, when I have, you know, object to meet, how can I not have expectation for my team member? I would expectation for my children also that they should study and this, that, and so forth. If I'm in business, I have expectation from my people, you know, who work for me that they should perform well. It is true. Yes, those kind of relationships, their expectations are justified. But one thing, that whereas we have expectation, we should be prepared that our expectation may not be fulfilled. Be prepared for the situation condition when they may not be able to fulfill expectation. Am I ready? So when you have expectation, ask yourself, am I ready if my expectation is not fulfilled? Or will I get upset? Will I lose control? That's not right. So expectation is required for functioning of a system, an organization, a family. Yes, there should be some basic discipline, etc. Expect it, accept it. I don't say you let it go. You say that you understand that expectation may not be fulfilled. Then you will decide what to do. If I get angry because I expect not fulfilled, then I cannot function. An angry person cannot function efficiently. Only a person who has self-control can function effectively. So what is meant by being ready for a situation when my expectation may not be fulfilled is that I understand that it is not always possible for people to fulfill my expectation. So when I understand that, account for that and maintain my balance of mind, then I will decide what to do. I'm not saying you should not do something, but you do it with an objective mind, not with a reacting mind. When my expectation is not fulfilled, usually I react with anger. What we are saying is that when you say that, I understand, it may not be fulfilled, then you're not angry. You have still a control over yourself. And then your response will be from a person who has self-control. Then it will be a mature or objective response. What is required to be done on our part to nurture and nourish a relationship is to let go whenever our expectation or demand comes in the way of relationship. I let go. When I do not let go, when I hold on, other person also holds on, there is friction. When I let go, there is a harmony. Simple thing. We already told you. Whether it is parents and children, whether it is spouses, whether it is between members of the society, the simple rule about a relationship is that if it is based on my preparedness of accepting and respecting the other person, and by in my respect for the other person or value for the other person, I'm going to let go my demands and expectations, then there will be a harmony in relationship. When that is not there between the relationship, in society, anywhere, in countries also, don't let go, then you hold on, and this is one here, and this one over here. I have this kind of tariff, I have that, and that's how it goes on and on. The reason why we do not find that love is very much there in ourselves, what blocks that love is this holding on to things. That's what blocks the love. Letting go just brings out the love and happiness. The question here is that if there is a difference in understanding where a given conduct, a person thinks is moral, and the other person thinks is immoral, is that what you mean? I do not know if there can be such a difference of opinion where one thinks it is moral. I don't think so. Because morality is generally determined by what I expect from others, is what others expect from me. And so we are quite clear that being honest is being moral and so forth. So I do not think that there can be this kind of a diversity in the opinion. Yes, there can be that you think that this is the right way of doing, other person that is the right way of doing, there can be different opinion in this manner. Where then it's a matter of compromise. Then maybe I don't mind accepting your way if it doesn't matter too much to us. So very often it does not take too much. We can always bring in extreme cases, but in most cases it's not a big deal to let go something. There may be a situation which may be serious, then you have to consider that. If letting go means some kind of a big damage somewhere, then we have to consider that, no doubt about that. But in a relationship, generally speaking, letting go means that respecting the other person's need, other person's sentiment. That's what it comes out of my concern and care and kindness. That's the thing. Not that I let go because of some other reason. If letting go is an expression of a kindness, it cannot fail. Cannot fail. That whenever I let go, it works. Okay, that's good. Now, thing is that I'm not always able to let go. I'm not consistent in letting go. Now and then I'm able to do, but again I get back to my old habit of again holding on to things. Okay, doesn't matter. If you have value of letting go, suppose I fail to follow that value in a given situation, then I can review that situation and ask myself, what was the reason why I could not follow my value? And I educate the mind. The mind, when a similar situation arises, act in this manner. So there are built-in habits and patterns in our mind, and very often we become controlled by those patterns, and then what we like to do doesn't happen. That's called the pressure, the habitual pressure. But then we review that event once the mind calms down and educate the mind. What should you do when a similar situation arises again? Mind may forget. Again, remind the mind. That's educating the mind. Use every occasion where we failed. Use that occasion for learning as to what to do next time. It will work. Because in this, I have value of to change. A value of changing my mind. And this process will work slowly in course of time. That's how we change ourselves. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadah Yapur